Well, I invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Mark chapter 1. We're still in Mark chapter 1, but we'll finish it up today. And take your outline so you can follow along with where we're going this morning. I was complaining to my brother in Kansas City this morning about a foggy morning, and he said he went out to scrape his car, and it was 24 below. So he said, stop complaining. Well, you know, think about the words that were not even part of our vocabulary 1 year ago. COVID-19. N95. Super spreader. Social distancing. Or maybe we knew the words, but boy, they have a new meaning for us now, don't they? Shelter in place order. Positivity rate. Well, you know, we're talking this morning about leprosy. Leprosy still exists today, but it's rare, like 150, 200 cases in the United States. In the first century, this was a horrible disease. It had no known cure. It would leave somebody physically disfigured. Not so much the case today, at least here. It is in other parts of the world. Very treatable. Well, after this year of COVID, we might be able to identify a little with the lepers who had to keep themselves separated from the healthy population in order to prevent the spread. I don't know if they had 2 weeks to prevent the spread, but anyway, that's what they had to do. Phil Yancey, author, and Dr. Paul Brand wrote a book called Fearfully and Wonderfully Made. Dr. Brand has a unique perspective on this whole area because he has spent much of his career as a doctor treating and caring for lepers. Phil Yancey describes in the book Dr. Brand's research, and he says this: Dr. Brand was the one who discovered that the terrible damage that occurs to many leprosy patients happens simply because they've lost the ability to feel pain. The disease itself isn't rotting away the flesh as we thought. Rather, it destroys nerve cells, and they feel no pain. And so they lack the protection of pain in their extremities, their fingers, their toes, their ears and nose. That's what they lose. They end up being eaten away by this disease. Dr. Brand calls leprosy a painless hell. And he says, I don't know if you've ever done this, but you should thank God for pain. While Jesus did a lot of miracles, it's important to remember that he didn't want people to see him just as a miracle worker, as someone who would just only meet physical needs. Look back at verse 38, where Jesus says, let's go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. That is why I have come. And you might want to underline that last phrase, that is why I have come, in your Bible. Because that's Jesus' purpose for being here. He came primarily to preach the gospel. He knew he needed to maintain the right balance between healing and preaching. And he did it perfectly. People want temporary relief from their pain. But Jesus knew, and this is on your outline, that to repent and believe offered people permanent, eternal freedom from pain and suffering. And so also on your outline is this, that the word leprosy was used in biblical times to describe a variety of skin diseases. Leviticus 13 details 7 forms. According to the ceremonial law, a person with leprosy was to wear distinct clothing to signify they had the disease, as well as shouting unclean as they approached others. They were not allowed to touch others. This leper, full of faith, takes the risk of going right up to Jesus and cries out for Jesus to make him clean. So let's read our passage, Mark chapter 1, beginning at verse 40. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus was moved with pity. He reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. This is God's word. Well, we've said this before, but the key verse really in Mark is Mark 10:45. Again, it's on your outline. "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." I think this verse perfectly describes, summarizes, if you will, the two main themes of this gospel. Most of the book is about Jesus' service. But we also see at the close of the book his ultimate service to us in what we just celebrated, and it is worth celebrating because it means the forgiveness of our sins, his death on the cross, when he ransomed us. Mark, of course, does have a lot of deep teaching. It's not just about service. It's not just about the miracles. But one of the things that we need to understand is that, and this is again on your outline, is that all of Jesus' miracles are also parables of what God is doing among us and what he was doing among the people then. When, for example, Jesus healed someone who was blind, it wasn't just the healing of blind. That was a sermon. He was saying that the light that I'm going to bring into your hearts will take away the darkness of the sin. And so, again, on the outline, leprosy is symbolic of sin and the healing of that sin. And it's a parable of deliverance from sin. The Greek scholar Richard Trench recognized this. He called leprosy an outward visible sign of our innermost spiritual corruption. Warren Wiersbe writes this: "When you read the tests for leprosy in Leviticus 13, you can see how the disease is a picture of sin. Like sin, leprosy is deeper than the skin. It spreads, it defiles and isolates. It renders things fit only for the fire. Anyone who has never trusted the Savior is spiritually in worse shape than this man was physically." And so, in keeping with the deeper meaning of leprosy, what are some insights that we can glean from this passage? First of all, number one, we are all spiritual lepers. Verse 40 again, "A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.'" In Luke's account of this miracle, Luke describes this man as covered with leprosy. When that leper heard that Jesus was coming near, it must have given him great hope. The life of a leper is summarized in Leviticus 13 that Warren Wiersbe mentioned in his quote. The person in verses 45 and 46 with such an infectious disease must wear torn clothes, let his hair be unkempt, cover the lower part of his face. They wore masks in Old Testament times. And cry out, "Unclean, unclean." As long as he has the infection, he remains unclean. He must live alone. He must live outside the camp, outside the city, outside, away from other people. Part of the humiliation and part of the isolation was because it was thought at the time that this was a highly contagious disease. It's contagious, but it's not highly contagious. The famous Jewish historian Josephus summarized the lepers' plight when he said this. He said they were treated as if they were, in effect, dead people. Can you even imagine? Maybe we can get a glimpse of it because of what we've been through this last year. The spiritual reality for all of us is that we are all spiritual lepers. This is what the image is supposed to teach us here. But unlike the leper, we're often not aware of sin like we should be. This is why, like Jesus, us preaching and sharing the good news is what God uses to let people know about the leprosy of their sin. Martin Lloyd-Jones talks about the necessity of that for our lives. And he says this, unless you have known of your own sinfulness, you are not a Christian and you do not believe in Christ as your Savior. Christ cannot help or advise or comfort you until he has first of all saved you. Unless you have known that, in the words of the Apostle Paul, that you are dead in sin, then you have never known Jesus Christ as a Savior. And if you do not know him as a Savior, you do not know him at all. Can you say to yourself, like the leper, that you're unclean? And mean it? If so, then that's the first step to faith in Christ, to genuinely coming to Christ by faith. The leper knew that he was bad off, but he also had confidence in Jesus to heal him. Look at what he says in verse 40. If you are willing, you can make me clean. The leper knew he was diseased, but he also believed that Christ could heal him. He probably didn't have great theological understanding, but he was very pragmatic. It was practical. If he can heal others, I believe he can heal me. The leper knew that sin was a problem, that his leprosy was a problem. Sin controls people in two opposite ways. First of all, a lot of people think they're not sinners. They don't really have a problem. You ever talked to anyone like that? I have. And then the opposite extreme is true as well, that people, once they realize sin, they think they're too bad, they're too evil to come to Christ. And neither of those are true. No one's beyond help. But we are all totally depraved. There's nothing in us that makes us want to seek God. It is the Holy Spirit that draws us to himself. And that means that unfortunately, there's always room, what total depravity means, there's always room for things to get worse. We get surprised when we hear about sin, but maybe we shouldn't be so surprised. But the disease of sin disfigures all of us. It disfigures our heart and our thoughts. It disfigures our actions. It distorts our words. It leaves us lame and broken. And when we look how this world is so upside down sometimes, and we think this can't be true, people can't really think this way, we're shocked at that. And I think what he's saying here is that maybe we should expect it. It's like the young priest who was asking an older priest how he was doing and learning to hear people's confession of their sin. And the older priest said, look, when somebody confesses their sin to you, you need to learn to say something other than, wow. The leper did express some hesitation here when he said, if you are willing. He knew Christ could heal him. He just didn't know whether Christ would heal him. But where the leper had hesitation, this is on your outline, we can have certainty. We know God's heart. We know the heart of Jesus. Listen to these words that in 2 Peter, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. The Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. There's no need for us to say, if you are willing, Lord, you can make me clean. No need. Rather, we can say, since you are willing, I will be clean. Wash me now, Lord. The leper was fully aware of his hopeless condition. And still, he believed Jesus could heal him. And now from the leper's cry, we can look at the Lord's answer that shows us, and this is number two on your outline, that caring for others is more impactful than our theology. In fact, caring for others should grow out of a good theology. Jesus had this perfect balance, as we've said, between loving and caring for people and preaching the gospel. So we always look to Jesus as an example. And he's way more than that, of course. But you know, if you love someone, you're going to meet all the needs you see that they have. You don't sit around and debate ideology. You don't even debate theology. You just serve them. You love them. I'm sure some of you will remember the movie The Elephant Man. It's a true story of a man named John Merrick who had a terribly disfigured face and who lived in London during the 19th century. His own family had rejected him because of his hideous appearance. A doctor found John working in a circus as a sideshow freak. And he took him to a hospital and just cared for him, treated him as a person, provided him books to read. He loved to read, and found out that John was a very kind and intelligent man. Well, after a newspaper reported on John's progress, there was a talented actress who's also a committed Christian who came to visit him. And knowing that he loved to read, on one of those visits, she brought him Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet. And he said he felt like an ugly beast cowering next to a beautiful princess. And he was just at a loss for words. And so he opened the script and just started reading. And his voice was squeaky, kind of like mine is right this second. And he read from the second act. See how she leans her cheek upon her hand. Oh, that I were a glove upon the hand that I might touch that cheek. And this actress, a man named Madge Kendall, who was known for her Shakespearean, that's what she mainly did, Shakespeare plays, responded with the words of Juliet that she had memorized as an actress. And John read and she recited the rest of the act together. And when it was done, she had kind of slipped next to him and was sitting right next to him. She leaned over and kissed him on his rough and leathery cheek. It was said that John was a changed man from that moment on. Appropriate touch, which we've missed out on for a while, is so powerful. And we see this in Jesus, his compassion, his touch, his words to the leper. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." The servant Savior has a heart of compassion for this man's leprosy. And Jesus has a heart of compassion for your sin. He does more than just understand. He felt the full weight of that sin when he became the ransom for our sin. And so take heart. Jesus compassionately feels with you the effects of your sin. And like we see Jesus reaching out and touching the leper, we see this in Mark's gospel a lot. It's on your outline. Jesus delighted in touching needy people. And you have a whole list of those in just the gospel of Mark, but a couple to highlight in chapter 5, verse 41. A little girl dies and Jesus took her by the hand and he said to her, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." In Mark 9, a healing of a boy that had an evil spirit, Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up. And in Mark 10, when people brought children to Jesus, he did more than just touch them. It says he took the children in his arms, he put his hands on them, and he blessed them. So in not one of these situations did Jesus have to touch a person. But he did it because it was his human divine heart to do that. We can assume that this leper had not felt a touch in a very long time. If he had a wife, he had not touched her. She had not touched him. If he had children, he had not felt their arms around him. He had not ever received a kiss from them for years, we imagine. I know of a man who was so lonely for someone to touch him that he went and got his hair cut once a week so he could just have a barber touch him. I can't even imagine what this leper was going through, but remember, lepers were unclean. And to touch this leper, one would think Jesus would be unclean. But it didn't work that way. The disciples and the onlookers must have been shocked to see Jesus touch this leper. But instead of Jesus being made unclean, touching the leper was made clean by Jesus' touch. You know, there are human reasons for a touch. Jesus wanted the leper to feel his willingness and his sympathy to his situation. The touch said, "I understand. I care about you. I love you." But there's also a theological reason, because this is a perfect picture of the incarnation. Think of what Jesus has come to do. This touching of the leper is a picture of Jesus taking on our flesh and giving us his purity. The Apostle Paul said it like this in a verse that I know you know, many of you know, that God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. This is a powerful lesson for us. And so on your outline, you have this: we're called to care for practical needs whenever we see them. And the most caring thing we can do is to share the love of Jesus with someone. That takes us back to verse 17 in chapter 1, where he calls us to do what? To be fishers of men. It's what our church is about. We send missionaries all over the world to share the good news to people who have never heard it, who have never read it because their word isn't written. But at the same time, we're called to reach out to the people around us and share the good news with them. And then the last insight that I want us to see in these verses, number three, is that the leper's cure is our cure. Now came the miracle. In describing it in Mark, Mark uses his favorite word in verse 42. Look how it starts. Immediately, the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. The healing is sudden. It's complete. And now this man doesn't have to cry, unclean, unclean. What does he cry? I'm clean. I'm clean. Can you even imagine? That's what Jesus can do for anyone. In an instant. At the moment of belief, the healing of Christ and our salvation is immediate. The sacrificed blood of Jesus, God's Son, purges all our sin, John writes in 1 John. And then the command Jesus gives the leper is very clear. Look at verse 43. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest as a testimony to them. Jesus heals him. And Jesus gives him two commandments, one positive and one negative. The negative one, don't tell anyone. Jesus wanted to be able to have the freedom to preach the gospel anywhere, in the cities, in the synagogues. And the positive one, go and tell the priest, which would have meant a trip to Jerusalem. We don't know if he followed that one to the priest, but we do know that he did absolutely not obey the first command that Jesus gave him. And I think that's a great picture of our selfish and disobedient and rebellious hearts. Because Jesus heals us. And then we're knowingly disobedient to him. But he remains faithful. Even when we are faithless. There are a lot of verses that deal with exactly what offerings the leper was supposed to make. But let me just mention one verse. In Deuteronomy 24, it says, in cases of leprous diseases, be very careful to do exactly as the priests who are Levites instruct you. You must follow carefully what I have commanded them. And so if you realize that leprosy has infected, that sin has infected you, then you no doubt know that you're a sinner. And if you believe that, especially if you've never done so, the lesson here, go immediately to Jesus. He's our high priest. And we're obedient to him and what he asks us to do. And the high priest has compassion on us. He touches our leprosy, our sin. And we're healed of the eternal consequences of our sin immediately. And it means just coming to Jesus and say, Lord, I know you're willing. Make me clean. And then in verse 45, instead he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. Goes on. Know this. In every moment of your life, you're either a part of what God is doing or you're in the way of it. And so this next week, determine to be a part of what God's doing in your life, in the life of the people around you. This guy was smacked, this leper got smack dab in the middle of, in the way of what God wanted to do. God's will still is ultimately done. But there is the message for us here that's powerful. And the message for those of us who are following Christ is, that we're called, first of all, to reach out with compassion, to love the unlovely, to touch the untouchable. Who do you need to reach out and touch that for you is an untouchable this week? The list could be long of who that could be. Maybe it's anyone who is not in your clique, not in your social group. Maybe it's someone that you're holding a grudge against. They've become untouchable for you. What God is saying to us is we don't have the right to treat them that way anymore. Who else would you put on that list? Who's untouchable for you? Phil Yancey writes, "The modern church rejects the outcasts of society, whereas these outcasts are the very ones who are being drawn to Jesus, because he came for the lepers. We're all sinners. And so it's up to us to reach lonely people. And there are a lot of lonely people around us, especially now. Don't let anyone around you right now leave today without them knowing that you care about them. You know, I recently saw a picture of a beautiful statue of Jesus. I saw a before and after picture, and it said, "Come unto me." It was the inscription, and his hands were beautiful. And then I saw another picture, and the hands were gone. It had been vandalized or damaged or somehow. There was an artist who said, "You know what? I'd love to redo those hands. That was what a magnificent job that sculptor had done initially." And the church that owned the statue decided not to do that, but instead to change the inscription. And the inscription says now, "Still Jesus without any hands, he has no hands but ours." We are the hands of Jesus. You are the hands of Jesus. You know, if you've moved from being miserable in your life to being without Christ in your life, in other words, to receiving God's healing hand of mercy, that means you are now on a mission to live your life that way every day. Today. We've already mentioned some of the ways that leprosy is like sin, but here are a few more. Leprosy, like sin, sin can deaden and numb us. Sin progressively enslaves us. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin." Sin isolates us. Sin can destroy our lives. Someone said, "Sin will take you further than you plan to go and keep you longer than you plan to stay." And like leprosy, sin is terminal. Nothing is too gross or too ugly or too shameful for Jesus to heal. He can and he wants to heal the leprosy of your sin. And you got this on your outline. Nothing is beyond the scope of Jesus' compassion. The leper had this transforming moment with Jesus. Have you had a transforming moment with Jesus? If you have not, maybe right now could be your transforming moment. And if you have, you know, we can all move closer to him. We can all get to know him in a deeper way. So you can move closer to him now as well. I think our response to Jesus needs to be the same as this leper's initial response. He didn't make any demands. He didn't excuse his leprosy. He didn't minimize the impact that it had on his family and his community. He didn't have a spirit of entitlement. He didn't have a "why me, Lord" attitude. And he didn't doubt Jesus' ability to heal him, to cleanse him. He just bowed in humility before the Father. So I'm not saying we should get on our knees and bow in humility, but we can get on our knees and our hearts right now. Will you join me in prayer? Let's pray. Father, we realize that our misery is probably worse than we think, but your mercy is greater than we ever imagined. And our mission is a great mission. Father, if there's anyone here today in need of cleansing, will they just come to you right now in their heart of hearts and just acknowledge, say, Lord, I am diseased with sinfulness. I'm dead in my trespasses and sins. So I come to you, Lord, as a diseased and depraved sinner and want nothing of my own, but I just want to please you, Father. Forgive me, cleanse me. May we live our lives in the reality, Father, sear this into our senses, our hearts and minds, that we live in your presence. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.